scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pause this morning. We ask that you clear our minds of any distractions, clear our hearts of any desires that would lure us away from receiving your truth. We ask that you swing open wide the gates to our heart so that your Holy Spirit can move upon us, so that you can teach us the message that you have in store for us today. Make us willing to receive it, Lord, and bless this time that we have in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, since the beginning of the year, we've been going through Mark, moseying through the book, and we're about halfway through it now. And as we've done this, as we've gone through it, we've been looking at the ministry of Jesus, and we've been seeing how his ministry not only changed the world of those around him, not only changed the world as we understand it now, but also how his ministry continues to change our world. And last week we looked at the idea of ritual and tradition and religion and how he said that our actions, these man-made traditions and actions, aren't really what matters. It's the condition of the heart that we give to God. But we also have come to realize in the past several weeks that our actions do matter, not necessarily the rituals and the traditions, but are what we doing with our lives. Is it reflective of the condition of our hearts? If God wants us to live a certain way, and if we profess to believe that and follow Jesus Christ, are we living that out through our actions? And as we've been studying this Gospel of Mark, we're starting to see that that is really the main point. That is the call to action, that we mimic ourselves, we pattern ourselves to live like Jesus Christ. Now, we call Scripture the living Word of God. And we call it that because if you ever spend any time in it, studying it or reading it, you know that it sort of has this ability to change with us while remaining the same. It is the same Word of God that was written thousands of years ago, but you can read it one time and appreciate it for its historical context. You can read it again later when you're going through something else in life and you realize that there is a lot of allegory there that you can apply to your own situation. Then you may read it again 10 years later and you may get a different meaning out of the same scripture, the same text. And that's why we call it the living Word of God, because it moves and it breathes and it inspires us no matter where we are on our journey of faith. And it's like a gem. It's like you hold it up to the light and it's beautiful and the light comes through. But then you can slightly turn it and see it from a different angle and more beauty is revealed. More truth is revealed and the light comes at it from a different angle. So that's what we do with Scripture, is we observe it from all these different angles to gain any truth that we can by it. Now, as we've been going through this Gospel of Mark, no doubt we've gone through some very familiar passages. and stories of things that have happened, that probably stories we've heard for many, many years of things that Jesus did. But there's new truth and new insight constantly to be gained from it. You see, the Gospels reveal different things to us. First of all, it reveals the divinity of Jesus. We look at it and we realize that this is the Son of God. And we see that as clear as day. He's doing miracles. He's claiming to be the Son of God. He's doing all these miraculous things, just like this story that we just looked at. He takes these few fish and few loaves of bread, and he feeds thousands of people with it. And on the surface, you look at that and you say it's a miracle. He is clearly the Son of God. That is the point of this story. But the gospel also reveals to us how he is the Son of Man. He isn't just fully divine. He is fully divine, but he is also fully human. And so we see not just his divinity, but his humanity. And as you study the Gospels, it's like that gem. You turn it and you see one thing, and then you turn it a little more and you see something else. This story is no exception. We can talk about how he performed the miracle and how he fed all these people, but there's something else here. If you look at it, you see the humanity of Jesus. It says in verse 2 that Jesus said, "I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come a great distance." Jesus knew what hunger was like. He was moved with compassion and with pity and with love because he knew this painful experience. And we've talked about some of these experiences in our journey through Mark. We talked about how he was in the desert for 40 days with nothing to eat. He was starving. And we talked about how he was tired and fell asleep in the boat because he was exhausted and burned out. Last week, he was ridiculed for doing something that the Pharisees or the religious leaders, they thought he should be washing his hands, and him and his disciples hadn't done it. So he was ridiculed for that. So Jesus knew rejection and ridicule. He knew fatigue and he knew hunger. And that's why when we come to this passage, we see his compassion, because he knew what it was like to be a human who was tired and who was hungry and who had gone a long way without anything to eat. Now, Gospels are biographical accounts of Jesus's life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're not always in perfect agreement. This story is a good example of that. Sometimes you see that, he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of fish. And then another gospel may say he fed 4,000 with 7 loaves and some fish. And maybe there were different circumstances. There are people who believe that. And maybe it's just, a couple details are off. And there's certainly, that certainly doesn't debunk the whole thing. If anything, it makes the case stronger. If you were to get a stack of biographies about any historical person, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, whoever, and you read them, the details within the pages will be slightly different no matter who you're reading about. That doesn't mean the person didn't exist or they didn't do all the things that was said in there, but that's what happens when we give a historical account of things. Certain details get changed or are told differently. But the Gospels, we have 4 different biographies of Jesus Christ. And the message in every one of them is the same. He was fully divine and he was fully human. And he brought the love of God here to earth. Now, when we read a good biography, normally it will call us into action in some way. If you read a biography about a great political leader or a civil rights leader or whatever it is, a lot of times you'll finish the book and you'll be inspired. You'll be ready to do something great. Or even if you read a biography about somebody horrible, you put the book down thinking, well, I'm not going to do that. Either way, the book has called us into some type of action. And the Gospels are no different. And the story here is no different. You see, Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and the first thing that we need to ask ourselves, obviously, we don't have the capacity to feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread, But what can we take from this story? How can we apply this to our own lives? And it really just begins and ends with the fact that he was moved with compassion, that he had love for his fellow people. You see, when we try to become Christ-like, we always fall short. But that doesn't mean that that's not our call, that's not our goal. As followers of Jesus Christ, that's what we are always striving for. And none of us get there overnight, none of us get there in a week or even a year. It's a journey to follow Jesus, to become more and more like him. But we see how Jesus reflected the character of God, his Father. And Jesus did the work of God, his Father, and he fed the masses because he had compassion. It began with love. And that should sound familiar to you, because that is the same story that has gone on throughout the history of the world. God is love. 1 John tells us, love one another, for God is love. God in the beginning was a perfect and loving God who created the universe out of love. He sustained the earth, the animals, people. He looked at man and said it's not good for him to be alone, and out of love, he created a woman. And all through the Old Testament, we see how God took care of his people. When the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness, manna fell from heaven. He was known as Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Jireh, meaning God the provider. Of course, today we have people who are theists who say, well, there is a God, but I'm not really convinced that he cares too much about us or even knows what's going on down here. We have agnostics who say there may be a God, there's no way of knowing, but he's not really interested. We have this going on today, but we had that even back then. The children of Israel, as they went through the desert, they complained, God has forgotten us. He's not concerned with us. But God showed us that he does love us and that he does provide for us. And he did that by sending Jesus Christ into the world to have compassion on us, to empathize with us, to go through pain and hunger and ridicule and fatigue, to put himself in our position so that he could not just love us, but share the love of God with us. Jesus came down and exemplified that love because God needed us to know. He needed us to realize that everything begins with love. The title of the sermon, I named it Love Can Sustain Us. I should have named it Love Does Sustain Us, because it does. And if you look back on your life, you are here today because of love. You grew up as a child. You were fed meals that helped you grow because someone cared enough to feed you. That's always been the case. Orphans and widows, they receive their meal because people are moved with compassion to donate or to volunteer their time or whatever it is. The mama bird goes out and finds the worm for her babies in the nest. She comes back and she feeds them. And it's not the worm that has sustained those baby birds. It's the mama's love that made her leave and go find that food. You see, everything we have in life, the fact that we are here today, it's because God has loved us. And because God put people in our lives to take care of us and to bring that love towards us. So it's not food that sustains us. Yes, we do need food. But it all begins with love. So when we get back to this idea of action, how is this calling us into action? What do we do? Well, if we're followers of Christ, we're going to mimic that behavior. We're going to be like Christ. That's what the word Christian means. We are becoming like Christ. And we do that by showing compassion for others, by realizing the need of other people, our fellow brothers and sisters, our children, our parents, but just our fellow man, and realizing that there is a need. Last week we talked about what wasn't pure religion. The traditions and the rituals and all this stuff wasn't the pure religion. But what is? The book of James tells us that pure and undefiled religion is this: taking care of the orphans and the widows. Because they need to know compassion. They need to know the love of God. And if there is nobody there to show them that compassion, they cannot be fed. They cannot be sustained. Everything we have in life, we have because God loved us. Because He provided for us. And so our call to action, what we can gain from this passage, is to look on others with compassion. To see the needs of others. And to place their needs ahead of our own. That is love. That is sacrifice. And that's what it means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, this weekend, as we think about Valentine's Day, we see what the world has to say about love and what their version of love is. We thank You that You reveal this pure and undefiled love for us, that You show us what it means to genuinely put the needs of others ahead of Yourself. We pray that You will continue to inspire us and strengthen us so that we will have this vision, we will make this our mission in the world, to put the needs of others ahead of our own. Teach us to love more perfectly, to give more generously, and to serve You more wonderfully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.